First three Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So I wonder if I had one of these young guys come up here this morning and we tried to arm wrestle. I know I'd win. And the reason I know I would win, at least according to this passage, is because I would lose. Yeah, notice what this is saying. Actually, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we think exactly the opposite. So we actually think the guy that wins, you know, in arm wrestling is the guy that puts the other guy down. But it's not that way at all. It's the other way around. At least in the spiritual world, that's the way it is. We get things exactly opposite. You see, the spiritual world is like a parallel universe that you're looking at through a mirror. And it's not anything like our universe. We do not actually make gains by trying harder, doing better, and becoming perfect. We actually make gains as we see deep within our soul that we are less than we ever thought we were. And that gives us the gain because the appreciation of Christ becomes so much greater in our understanding. And that's what this passage is very simply saying. They that are poor in spirit, not poor financially, those who have an understanding in their soul that they're not what they ought to be. Now, this passage about the kingdom is so profound that when it blesses us, it's like a new CEO coming into a company or a new president in an administration being developed in a land with all new goals and all new thoughts in mind. It changes the way life is. And if this morning, instead of thinking, how am I measuring up? What are others thinking of me? Am I making the grade? If you could actually just chill and realize that it's the work of Christ that justifies you. Friends, that is deliverance. That is freedom. That is blessing. We just can't get it. From the beginning of life to the end of life, we're always striving. It's not only our society, it's deep within us. And certainly we need to do the best we can and all that stuff. But when it comes down to who we are essentially, deep within your soul, you know you're a mess. Every one of us. You know you're not okay. You know you're not what you ought to be. And so Christians, I think, perhaps are some of the worst to judge each other and to analyze, well, this person makes it and that person doesn't. This one measures up and the other one doesn't. And it's not that way at all. We do not have the eyesight to look into someone's soul and even be able to judge whether or not they are born again. We do not have that capacity. We are not asked to decide who's in and who's not in. Amen. But we declare the way it is, and then those that are the Lord's find a direct communication with their soul, right, with what's declared. And that's what this passage is saying. Blessed. It doesn't say you can get blessed if you can get low enough. Friends, try to get low and you'll be real proud you got low. That's the way we are. This passage is making a declaration. Blessed are the poor. God has to make you poor. But when God makes you poor, you'll find you're blessed. And that's what the very next passage is saying as well. Blessed are they that mourn. Have you ever tried to mourn for your sins? I mean, friends, we need to mourn for our sins, but only the Lord can bring us to the place that we're actually convicted of our sins. Many times He uses the circumstances of life. He may use others' words to us. He may use ill health. No telling what He may use. Difficult relationships. But those who are brought to mourning are actually going to be those that are comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, let's first notice just for a moment the structure or the very setting that this passage comes to us in regards. And it's the Savior speaking about the coming of His kingdom. Now, you know what they thought. They were looking for somebody to come and rule, for someone to deliver them nationally. They looking for someone to make them feel great again. Their nation was at the top. They wanted to be built up and proud and like everything was coming their way. And they were judging everyone else. Remember that the Jewish people, and that's who we are, because religious people always have a tendency to become proud and arrogant and better than others. That's our tendency. And the Savior is speaking into that culture of people that had the word, believed in God, thought they had it right. Everybody else ought to become like them. This is the setting. If I can just get people to be like me. And Charlotte said, Lord, help us. If we have any more like Him. And that's the truth. The Savior speaks into that culture. That's the setting. And He just makes an announcement. Blessed are the poor. He didn't say try to get poor. He just said blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the very sentiment, the very soul of who we are. Bo Geertz wrote a book called The Hammer of God. And in this book, and I'm only partway through it, but it's just been phenomenal. The preacher, the curate, goes to a man that's dying named Johannes. It's said in Swedish or Finland, somewhere there. And the man has tried so hard to get good and repent. In fact, he did repent of the real bad sins. But then he's just been working, working, working on his inward sins. And he's gotten worse and worse in his own sight. And so the bishop comes and he said, you need to repent of your sins. And he said, I've repented and I've repented and I've repented. He began to name his sins. But he said, the problem is when I sit in the congregation, I look over and I see my mother who's ailing, and I think, soon as she's gone, I'll get the inheritance. And then he said, I see the pot-bellied preacher go into the stand, and I think, why doesn't he control his appetite? And then he said, I drive home from the service, and I see the fields ready to be harvested. And I think, why did, names the farmer, so-and-so get the good land? I am as, you know, good a farmer as he is, and my crop's not as bountiful. What's the point of all this? The bishop came to Johannes, said, you need to confess your sins and get with the program with God. And he said, I've been trying, I've been trying, I've been trying, but every time I keep working at it. I see sin in deeper, broader, more fully encircling ways. And the preacher said, confess your sins. God is good. He'll forgive you. And he said, I've confessed and confessed and confessed. And that's all I do is confess. The preacher didn't know what to do. The story's really kind of comical. It was said in a day when, back in the back forest where everything's musty and they had no medical equipment and it was dank and the man was sick, and after the preacher had seen he wasn't doing any good, he actually went out and lost his meal that he had just had. But while he was mourning his own sin, Katrina, I think that was her name, can't remember just now, came up, a good woman from the community. She says, has Johannes died? Preacher said, no. So she went in to see him. Johannes began to relate what a great sinner he was and how afraid he was to die. And she said, simply, in very simple terms, why don't you give up on yourself and realize what a wretch you are, and just rest in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man said, it's that simple. And he read the scripture. She did. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Those were the man's last words, but a smile came across his face, and he entered into glory peaceful, not because he had confessed, but because he had seen the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to take every trouble in every heart this morning. I'd like to take it and just be able to wave it like a wand, and it'd be gone. And your souls could be comforted, and you could be engulfed in the loving arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't do that. But the Lord can take your soul this morning. As you present it before the Lord, not how good you are, not how good you intend to become, just simply, I have no hope except for Him. And that's the way we live. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are they that mourn. That's actually the people that are comforted. And then blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. Goodness gracious, I wish there was more to this life than there is. I mean, I've been trying my whole life to get the good life. What? Doesn't this earth have something more to offer? Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. It's such a blessing when God strikes us down. It's uncomfortable grace, but it's grace. It's such a blessing when we've been on the treadmill long enough that we're so exhausted we just have to get off of it. It's such a blessing. Such a blessing when we come to the end of ourselves and rejoice in what He has done for us. Then we actually inherit what the earth has to offer. Every bird singing to God's glory. Every droplet of rain is but magnifying His greatness. And every smile you see is an evidence that God is good to people that don't deserve it. And you've inherited, even like a man in Bo Geert's novel, who's at the end. Sick, dying, in a dank place. But he found peace in the work of Christ. I love y'all so much. It's wonderful to be here. Had to come and check it out because Jenny and Teddy said they might be thinking of moving here. Not really, not really. But they did enjoy being here so much. And thank you for taking such good care of them. Brother John's coming back in August. Get a busload, man. Come on. We need you.